Once again, thank you for the pastoral appreciation. You know, in the Bible, pastor and elder and shepherd are synonymous terms. So our elders here at Calvary as well give us the pastoral function of leadership and development and care as well, and we're thankful to serve alongside them. And as we were joking earlier, you know, we don't mind hearing whatever challenges are there as well, and even some things you may be upset about. In fact, I encourage you, call me tomorrow, leave a voicemail. My name is Jim Canary, okay? And I'll make sure to get on top of that as quick as I possibly can for you tomorrow morning. Today's message from the Word of God is for all of us here this morning that are feeling overwhelmed. Anybody here feel overwhelmed this morning? I don't know about you, but just looking at the pace in New York City and the stakes about how high things are raised here in New York, it could be overwhelming, can't it? And then just look in your news feed this morning. I opened up my Apple News and I just scrolled through and I said, what are some of the highlights of things going on in the world today? And these were words that filled my news feed this morning: typhoon, wildfire, rape, abuse of power, murder in Brooklyn, war in Syria, humanitarian crises. I mean, good morning. Welcome to the world. It's not hard, is it, to very easily and quickly recognize all of the overwhelming events going on in our world and to come to a point of thinking, God, where is there hope? And that's not even to mention the things that are going on in our own lives. Do you know what they are in yours? Those things that feel so overwhelming about your family situation right now. Your things that feel so overwhelming about a health concern. I just was talking with a friend yesterday who went through a car accident and almost lost their life last week, and their eyes are wide open and they're kind of walking around frozen like, what's going on? Is God trying to get my attention? Now, we are confronted by the condition of our world and in our own lives that oftentimes make us ask the question, is there any ability for us to bring lasting change, to bring lasting hope, to answer in an enduring way the questions and the pain that so easily weighs us down? And when we try, and when we put our trust in others to lead us in this way, we often wonder why we can't solve the greatest problems of humankind in any substantive way. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, it's easy for us to get through a high or feel a victory in a moment, but as you look out there, it's saddening. It can feel overwhelming. And so we ask ourselves the question, who is able? Who is truly competent enough, strong enough, worthy enough to bring about lasting change for those things that so overwhelm us in the world and so dominate us in our own personal life? And this morning, I encourage you that this is a question that the people of God have been asking for thousands of years. We are not alone. And in the Word of God this morning, in Revelation chapter 5, I want you to turn there with me. In Revelation chapter 5, we're going to get an answer for those times when you and I feel overwhelmed by the things going on around us. And the answer is for you and I to get a glimpse of heaven, to get a glimpse of Christ and who he is, what he has done, and what he is able to accomplish this morning. The message this morning is nothing more or nothing less than focus on Jesus together, to put our hope in him, especially when we're feeling moments of being overwhelmed. Revelation chapter 4 and 5 are for us a wonderful throne room scene in heaven above. And John, most likely the apostle John, as he sees this vision of events that are to come in the future, finds hope and encouragement for the present. And that's what good prophecy does. It tells us to think about what's coming, but to be hopeful and mindful in the present. And my prayer for you and me this morning is that as we leave, we might be not overwhelmed to the point of despair, but that in the feeling of sadness and oftentimes being overwhelmed, we might look to and worship Jesus even more. This morning in chapter 5 of Revelation, we're going to see this interplay between sadness and celebration, between tears and ultimate joy. And in this celebration, we're going to see laid out in the heavenly choir three songs. I want you to write these down. Are you ready? The first one we're going to see is the song of rescue, that when we see Jesus, we can't help but sing that song. Secondly, we're going to see a song of strength that you and I get to sing when we look at Jesus. And lastly, a song of equality, and we'll see what that means together this morning. A song of rescue, a song of strength, a song of equality as we ask this question: who is worthy of our worship? Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though he had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. In chapter 4, we see this wonderful throne room scene begin to be developed. And John sees one who is seated above, and all those who are there can't help but echo, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You have created all things." And God, seated on this throne in chapter 5, has something in his hand, doesn't he? It's a scroll. This scroll with its seven seals represents the events that are about to unfold in time and in history. Events that we believe are future to come, but no doubt have their monikers and their ways of showing themselves up even in our own current day. But in this scroll, we see this representing God's plan for history. And there's sadness. Do you see it? There's crying in heaven. They're weeping because they see God's work. They see God's plans. They understand that this scroll has laid out what God must and can do to address the greatest things in this world that overwhelm them. And they look around and no one is able to make it come to pass. No one is able to even open and look, and there are tears in heaven. Can you believe it? But the tears don't last long, do they? I love the text as it moves on, that they come and they say that there is one who is worthy. It's the Lion who is also a what? A lamb. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, this Root of David, this Messiah, is also a lamb that was slain. And that through his work, he is able to open and conquer because he has conquered sin and death. And this movement from sadness turns right away to celebration. And we see in verses 8 and following these songs that now start to spontaneously erupt amidst this heavenly choir. And my question for you this morning is, will you join this choir? Not will you join Calvary's choir, although we always have open enrollment. You're welcome to join. But will you, in your daily life and in your daily disposition towards God as we look at in this world, will you join the choir of heaven in singing these songs about the one who is worthy? The first song, a song of rescue. Look at verse 8. It says, and when he had taken the scroll, this is the Lamb, the Lion, Jesus, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the seals and to open the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. The first song of these heavenly choir members is a song of rescue, a song of rescue. It says, you are worthy to open and take the seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. You have paid the price to free them from their slavery. That Jesus has laid down of himself as the perfect sacrifice so that you and I might be brought back to God. The only one who is capable and strong and worthy to not be overwhelmed by the world and the situations and the sadness around them is the one who has faced the ultimate effects of evil and death and sin and comes through victorious. He has ransomed us. If you know Christ this morning, if you have put your trust and your faith in him, then God has bought you back to himself. You're no longer a slave to the world and the flesh and the devil, but you are God's. And look what it says in the text. He says he has ransomed a people from a tribe that all look the same, sound the same, and live in the same place, right? That's some bad exegesis there, right? From every tribe and language and people and nation, that the work of Christ on the cross is for a global body of Christ to be brought back to himself from every people and tribe and language and nation, that what Christ has done, this work of rescuing us, is not just something that you and I personally get to receive, which we do, but something that is offered to all people everywhere, no matter how they sound, no matter how they look, no matter where they live. Christ, the Lamb, has rescued them. That Christ has brought them back to himself. Isn't this amazing? That you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, do not find access to the people of God because of anything that our pedigree brings to the table. And that Jesus and God have died for us in a way because he has a diverse love for people. And that as you look around our congregation, as you look around our city, we have a message that is for everyone. Christ rescues us. Christ brings us back. Christ has forgiven. Christ has died and shed his blood for us. You see all of the flags hanging? These are just some of the nations that are represented within our congregation, but as well amongst our missions efforts. Next Sunday, we'll have our missions conference, 80 plus of these in the history of our church. It has been part of our identity as a people of God here in New York to not just care about this city, but to care about the world. And next week, you're going to hear a challenge to give of your time and your thoughts and your money, your resources, your prayers, to see this name of Jesus Christ lifted up for global praise. Isn't that amazing? You get to be a part as we share the hope of Jesus around the world. But look what verse 10 says. It's not that Jesus just rescues us and forgives us and gives us this wonderful group of diverse people we get to hang out with, and we get to enjoy cuisine and cultures from around the world. It's not just for, you know, diversity for the sake of diversity. It's for the sake of a mission. Look what it says in verse 10. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign where? On the earth. Listen. That Christ in this weird song of rescue is saved us. He has saved us globally. And he has invited you and me to be part of something bigger than ourselves. He has invited you and me to be a part of his kingdom work. And to one day when he comes and rules again, to reign and rule with him in a new heaven and a new earth to come. You have an important job to do, Christian. It's not just getting that promotion. It's not just about figuring out how you could save more money for retirement, okay? It's not just getting through this season of challenge with your children or your grandchildren or your coworker. It's not just going through and checking things off in life that the world tells us we need to check off in order to progress. God invites us to be a part of what he is doing in this world, to share the rescuing salvation and hope of Jesus. You and I need to have higher expectations for our life than we often do. Do you feel that love and excitement to be a part of the things that God is doing? Open up your eyes. Open up my eyes. God is at work all around us. How can we sing this song of rescue to those that are near? One of the most famous quotes of C.S. Lewis comes from a book called The Weight of Glory. I love the way he defines this idea. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of holiday at sea. I love that. We are far too easily pleased. I am far too easily pleased. And if you and I are to not be overcome and overwhelmed by the challenges in this world and the challenges in our own lives, then we must commit ourselves to sing the song of rescue. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, God, for making me part of your global body. And Lord, send me out to represent you. Will you join the choir this morning? There's a second song. This is a three-piece movement from this choir. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering tens of thousands of tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. Can you count it with me? It means innumerable. That's the idea. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. A song of strength. A song of strength. What do I mean by that? Look at all of these things that are highlighted in here and ask yourself, which of these would you like most for yourself? Are you with me? Power. Wealth. Wisdom for the super spiritual. Wisdom like Solomon, right? Might. Honor. Glory, blessing. As you read that list of attributes that Jesus is worthy of receiving, which one of them sounds nice to you? A little bit of power sounds okay. How about a little bit of wealth? How about a little bit in the coffers? And this idea of this being a song of strength is that all of these angelic beings and elders and others that are gathered around the throne, as they see Jesus, they say, you alone are capable of having all these things placed upon you, and you're not overwhelmed by it. Do you understand? You're not crushed by it. For example, if you and I were given absolute power and absolute wealth, it's kind of scary what we could accomplish, isn't it? What about if you and I were given absolute honor and everything we did was blessed? Would you and I always be able to wield that in the way that is for the best benefit of others? The idea here in this song is that throughout the whole world, think of the very best, the very richest, the very wisest, the very most honorable, all of these things, place them on Jesus and watch how the sacrificed Lamb of God is able to receive them, because he is worthy. He is strong enough to sustain all of these hopes on himself and not be crushed. You know, you and I will often look to certain things in our life to place these accolades on. Who can I place my trust in, my hope in, my future in, my wealth in, my power in, all of these things? And, you know, some of us will place it in family. And, oh, God, if I could just have this wonderful family unit, a house, picket fence. We don't get picket fences in New York. What do we get? I don't know. Double bolt locked doors, whatever it is that's most safe. I guess the safety fence thing, whatever it is for us in apartments here. Lord, if I could have all these things, then, you know, things would be great. Two kids or 1.5 kids and a dog, I think, is the national average, right? You know, family will disappoint. You know, families will buckle under the pressure of being the answer. Some of us, it's love. Ah, God, there's just one missing piece. Love. And God, if you give me that person, and I can place the weight of all of my hopes, all of my desires on them to fulfill and bring me happiness, then I will be okay. And it doesn't take much long in the love game to know that's not the way it works. People will buckle under that kind of pressure. And if you're in a Christian relationship or a Christian marriage this morning, one of the most wonderful gifts you get to give to your spouse is to remind them that you can't answer everything they need. That there is only one who is worthy of all power and glory and might and honor and wisdom and wealth and praise, and that's Jesus. You know, my friend was talking, he used to be part of this group in high school. It was called Odyssey of the Mind. Have you ever heard this? I guess it's for budding engineers. Okay, I barely got through math, so don't ask me, okay? And he said his parents were both engineers. He never was very good at math, but his parents, you know, try to help him and encourage him. And he said he was in high school, and in this Odyssey of the Mind club, they had a whole year to build a structure made of balsam wood, which, you know, is very, very thin. But you can layer it together and build a structure. And at the end of the year, you would go to this statewide competition. And they would put your structure from your school's Odyssey of the Mind club on stage, and they would just start adding weights. And he said, I was really bad at math and bad at engineering, and his was one of the first to usually crumble, and it's like public shaming of how bad you are at what you do, you know. And he said those that would win the competition, he said, you know, they would put hundreds and hundreds of pounds of weights on top of them. But you know what happens in the end to all balsam wood? You put enough weight on it, and what happens? When you and I come to Jesus and claim that he is worthy of all strength, we could put all of the hopes and dreams and cares and desires on him, and he will bear up under it. Do you believe that this morning? He will not be overcome by it. You will. I will. My spouse will. My friend will. Our church will. We all will disappoint. But there's one who never does. Never disappoints. He's worthy of our trust. Will you sing this song of strength in your life when you feel overwhelmed and weakest? Jesus, I place all hopes in you. There's a third song, the song of rescue, the song of strength, and lastly, the song of equality. I love this section, verse 13. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, and the elders fell down and worshiped. A song of equality. Here's what I mean by that, saying that. It says, to him who sits on the throne. And in chapter 4, we learn that the one who sits on the throne is God. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down and worship him who lives forever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God. God sits on the throne. You are worthy to receive power and glory. Turn back to chapter 5, and he says what? To him who sits on the throne, to God, and to who? The Lamb. The Son. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David, the Messiah, that they are what? On equal terms. That Jesus is God. And that this Lamb who displayed ultimate weakness in being a sacrifice in order to ransom you and I back, that he sits in equal authority as the sovereign over all things. And what is the response of literally everyone in existence? That's what this section means. Above earth, under the earth, those are alive, those who are not, those who are in the sea, those all around the throne in heaven. Everyone, even these living creatures, they all go before him and say amen, and the elders do what? Fall down and worship. Falling down, this ultimate symbolic act of humility, submission, and of worship. The song of equality is an invitation for you and for me to humble ourselves before God, to worship him. Note, in chapter 6 is when the Lamb starts doing what to the seals? Opening them up. And in the ancient world, they would often be a signet ring and a piece of wax on a piece of scroll that would at various points would have this seal of the sovereign in place, and you had to be a person of authority to break open that seal. That these seals of the things that are to come, and are these things that are to come horrible? Oh, yes, they are. Read chapter 6, the famine and the plague and the death. But before he opens it, before his plan is unfolded, before his ultimate will in reconciling all these things to himself, there is an invitation for you and I, in the midst of knowing the overwhelming events about to occur, to do what? Humble ourselves and worship him. That Jesus, this conquering lion, lamb, root of David, is enthroned already above, and we could worship him. And victory, though in our own eyes, is not seen in this world and in time and in place and in our families and in our own hearts. We know that through Jesus, it is a done deal already. And the invitation for you and me, humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Will you, this week, humble yourself and worship Jesus? Will we in the coming months as a church humble ourselves and worship Jesus? Will we join with the choir above and say, we believe this Lamb is victorious, and no matter what overwhelms, it can never ultimately overcome us. Sing the song of rescue. Sing the song of strength. Sing the song of equality. Will you join the choir? I was thinking this week about New York City and the wonderful orchestras and choirs we get to observe here all the time, not to mention the one that happens every Sunday at 11 o'clock here at Calvary. But I want you to imagine yourself in a Broadway show, and it's before a Broadway show opens up, and you're sitting there, and let's say you have some connections, and you're in the front row. And you hear in the background the orchestra starting to warm up. Do you know what that's like when you're at a Broadway play? You hear the violins. That was bad. You get the idea. I won't play the trumpet. You hear the brass. You even hear in the distance some of the singers starting to practice. And you start thinking to yourself, man, that sounds really full. I mean, this is going to be some show. I mean, I can't wait to hear this orchestra. I can't wait to hear the singing and the solos. And you've read all the reviews, and you know that this is going to win a Tony. And the curtain goes up, and the stage is full of hundreds and hundreds of musicians. But you notice as well, there's a whole section of empty chairs. And the conductor looks out, and he points to you. Can you believe it? And he points to other people. He says, come on up. Join. Be part of this orchestra. Be part of this choir. And you walk upstage and you whisper to him on the way up, I don't sing very good, you know. Don't worry, there's a spot for you. Haven't played trumpet since junior high. Don't worry, follow the first trumpet, you know. And in an amazing way, you're welcomed on the stage to play the opening song. Can you imagine what that would feel like? That's exactly what Revelation 5 is laying open for you and I, that as John sees the curtain lifted, he realizes that it's the incense, which is the prayers of who? The saints. Ah, I saved it to the end. You didn't realize it. You've already been singing with the choir. That you and I have been invited to sing these songs in praise to Jesus. And when we do, we will not be overcome, because the one who has overcome is worthy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth within its pages, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, in rescuing us from our sin and giving us purpose, Lord, and identity, Lord. Help us, God, we pray. Forgive us, we pray, Lord, for being pleased, Lord, with mud pies when there's a vacation at sea. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a strong God and that you are worthy of all worship and honor, and that you are not overwhelmed by it, and that you do not use it to abuse or to hurt, but to uplift, God, and to serve. And Lord, we pray that we might trust you in our life. And God, we pray, Lord, that we might, like the elders before your throne, might bow down and humble ourselves and worship you with our life, that God, we might give you of our thoughts, that we might hold every thought captive. Lord, that we might offer up our families and submit them to you. Lord, that we might worship you, Lord, as we trust you in our personal lives, as we trust you in our nation, as we trust you in this world. And that, Lord, we might in all things recognize and hope in the one who is strong and able. We thank you for Jesus this morning, the victorious lion who was our sacrificial lamb. And we pray all these things in his name by the power of your Spirit. Amen.